James chapter 3, we want to read a portion of Scripture there, then we're going to flip over to Psalm 141. But I want to read a text in James chapter 3. I don't do this very often, but I'm going to do it tonight. Subject tonight is going to be about your speech, about our words, about how we use our words and how we need to have guarded speech, vigilant speech. And James chapter 3 deals with this subject about our speech in pretty detailed fashion. And then in Psalm chapter 141, in verse number 3, David speaks about how that we need to have guarded speech. And so that's what we're going to speak about tonight, about our speech, about our words, and how that we need to use our words and all of those different aspects. So before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us. We thank you for being gracious to us. Thank you, Lord, for the week that we've had last week. You brought us together again today. We thank you, Lord, that we have a reason to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy that is found through Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word that you've given to us so free and so clear, Father, and you've given us understanding of your word. I pray that tonight you would give us more understanding, Lord. Help us to grow in the faith and be strengthened and established in the faith and to come to love you more. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 3. Read the first 12 verses of that. He says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. And if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed to mankind." Wow. "But the tongue can no man tame. It's a ruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same time sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." So James here is speaking, and he's saying that the tongue is one of the members of your body that you just can't tame. That you have trouble with your words. You have trouble with your mouth. And I have trouble with my mouth. And it's just like a little rudder on a boat or a ship, that it turns the ship whichever way it wants to turn it. That's the way that your tongue is. Kind of guides your whole body, guides your whole mouth, guides your whole life. The words that you speak, they are a guide to your life. He says it's like a little bitty match. You just say one little thing. You say one little word that you shouldn't say. Pop off at the mouth and say things that you shouldn't say. And boy, you just started a big old huge forest fire right there. You can't get in front of it. Boy, you think, man, I wish I wouldn't have said those things. I wish those words wouldn't have come out of my mouth. And he says it's a world, it's full of iniquity and poison. And he says, no man can tame that tongue. I mean, you might be able to tame some things, but the tongue is not something you're going to be able to tame. And David says the same thing in Psalm chapter 141. He doesn't say the same thing, but it's about his mouth in his lips. Now turn over to Psalm chapter 141. Psalm 141. And we'll read the first four verses. He says, Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as an incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Let me not eat of their dainties. Boy, when I read verse number 3, boy, it just struck me, and I've highlighted this verse before. But this is David here, and he's praying, and he's saying, God, I want you to set a watch before my mouth and keep the door of my lips, because I have a hard time controlling my mouth and controlling my speech. Now, I don't know about us, what you pray for whenever you pray, but most of us probably don't pray in that way. We're probably not praying for God to control our mouth and our tongue and our lips and to set a watch there before our mouth, but we need that. We need that because all of us have problems with our mouth and with our words and saying the things that we should not say, myself included. So when I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to me too. That's a universal phenomenon. Every person has a problem with their mouth and saying things that they should not say. I'm sure you've all watched football before. And you've seen how they wear a helmet on their heads. And they've got a face mask in front of their helmet. And they wear that to protect their face when they get into the game. They're going to go out and they're going to block and they're going to receive the football, throw the football, tackle, do all that stuff. And they've got a face mask on the front of it. They didn't always used to wear those. I think those plastic helmets came around in the 1950s, but before then they had leather football helmets and they didn't have a face mask. The 1950s came around, well, they started putting face masks on the helmet and started wearing the plastic helmet. And they did that because you get into a football game and you start, it's a full contact sport. I mean, it's not for sissies. And you had to have that face mask. You don't want to get a busted mouth. They wear mouthpieces too because it's going to protect their teeth, protect their mouth, and all of that. So you have to have that because it's a full contact sport. They don't want to get their face smashed. They can't run around out there playing football with their hand up in front of their face to try and block their face. They've got to have both hands, catch the ball, do whatever. So they need that face mask there because they know they're fixing to get into a battle and they're going to get their mouth busted if they don't have that help that face mask there. That guard has to be there. In our life today, it can be pretty rough out there. It can be pretty tough. Life can be a full contact sport. A lot of times we can say some things that we should not have said. We can injure some people with our mouths, the things that we say, and we can injure ourselves and injure others with our words and say things that we should not say. You know what we need? We need a face mask. We need a guard. We need someone to watch our mouth and watch our lips and watch our words, the things that we say. Because if we don't, we're going to say some things that are hurtful, that are harmful, that are unneedful, that do not edify, all of those things. And so we must have a guard on our mouth. And David is speaking here and he says, God, I want you to be my guard. I want to have vigilant speech. I want to be vigilant in my mouth and the things that I say. And God, I want you to camp out right here in front of my mouth. And I want you to guard the words that I say and the attitude that I have as those things come out. I want you to be my guard. David is praying for this. And then in our secondary text in James, James says it's impossible on our own to have the right kind of speech and the right kind of words. He says you can't tame it. You cannot tame it. And so the vigilant mouth precedes guarded words, carefully chosen words, and well thought out words. A lot of times we don't think about our words. We don't think about what we're going to say. You ever met that person that just does not have a filter on their mouth? Boy, they just, whatever comes to their mind, boy, it's just out the door. They don't even think about it. You know, I've worked around a lot of construction jobs and stuff like that, and boy, the cuss words are just flying. They don't care, talking about things they shouldn't be talking about. Well, a lot of people are like that. They just don't have a filter on their mouth. They don't have a guard on their mouth. A lot of people can say a lot of dumb things. Boy, just things they shouldn't have said. I know myself. I'm getting kind of ahead of myself, but I know myself. Boy, I can look at my past and I can think about some things that I wish I wouldn't have said that. Wish I wouldn't have done that. Boy, that was a stupid thing to say. But we must be vigilant in our speech. The book of 2 Timothy, Paul gives a warning to those who preach and teach the Bible. He says, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves." You're talking to someone that is unrepentant. You're talking to someone that has problems in their spiritual life. We are supposed to approach those people with meekness, with patience, and with gentleness. Why? Because if God peradventure will give them repentance through the acknowledging of the truth, you don't know whether that person's going to repent or not. You don't know whether that person's going to get right or not. And he's bound right now in chains of sin, and he's bound in chains of darkness, and you don't know what's going to happen to that person, and you certainly don't want to be a stumbling block with your words, your approach to that person. That was a reminder for all of us. We have to have diligent and guarded and vigilant speech as we speak. And I'm reminded about this because I stand up a lot and say a lot of words. And sometimes I listen to myself later and I thought, man, what was I saying? What was I even thinking? You know, because I say a lot of words. You know, and it's hard sometimes not to say the wrong words. But we want to look at tonight, we want to look at three desires of the vigilant mouth. What kind of desires should we have if we're going to have vigilant speech, if we're going to say the right things? First thing there should be is a desire for purity. A desire for purity. Number two, there should be a desire for prevention. And number three, a desire for power. The right kind of power. We have the power available to us. Number one, a desire for purity. David writes these words in Psalm chapter 141 and verse number 3, and he's apparently aware of the potential for harmful words that could fly out of his mouth at any moment. He knows the things that are in his heart. He knows what he could say at any moment. He knows that he could say some things that are corrupt and things that are wrong. And if you and I want to be vigilant in our speech, we must desire purity. We must know our potential to say harmful things. We must have a desire for purity. If you read the Psalms, you'll see that David is very concerned about his own speech and his own words. He says in Psalm 19:14, he says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." He says, "I want my words that come out of my mouth to be acceptable to you, O God." Many, many times, over and over and over again, there's David, and he's worried about the things that he's saying. He doesn't want to have anything that's impure or unrighteous coming out of his mouth. Then he writes about the wicked and their speech towards God and other people. He knew about all of the ungodly speech that people can say. It says in Psalm 5:9, he says, "For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre, and they flatter with their tongue." That's not pretty words. That's someone who's got something dead on the inside of them, and it's coming out of their mouth. They have the potential to hurt people and slander people and harm people with their words, the wicked people. Psalm 10, verse number 3 says, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth." So he uses his mouth to boast about the things that he's going to do, the wicked things that he's going to do, and he blesses wicked people in the face of God, those people that God abhors. Boy, you're going to have you got a lot of gall to say things like that in the face of God. But his mouth is a complete contradiction to God. We as people of God ought to have our speech lined up with the Word of God. We as people of God ought to have our speech lined up with God as well. says in Psalm 10:7, his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud, and under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter number 16 about six things that the Lord hates. Three of those things are associated with the speech and mouth. He says, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. God hates those things. God hates it when people lie. God hates it when somebody stirs up controversy and discord among the brethren. You and I must be vigilant in our speech. There must be a desire for purity in speech. Guarded speech is pure in speech. They are pure words. What do pure words look like? Where does it come from? Where do pure words come from? You know where all your words come from and my words come from? They come from right down in here. Right down in here. Comes right from your heart. Paul the Apostle was writing to the Philippians, and he was talking to them about things that they need to think on. He says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, all of these things, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know what he was writing to them about? About being joyful. About being joyful. And if you and I have a joyful heart on the inside, no matter what the circumstances are, I understand things get hard. Trials are going to come your way. Paul wrote to them, he says, look, get your thoughts in order. Think about the things that you need, that you ought to think about, pure things. You know why? Because if you get your thoughts and your heart in order, your words that come out of your mouth are going to be pure. They're going to be right. Pure speech comes from a heart of joy. Honest words, just words, pure words, lovely words, words that are of good report and words that are of praise. He's saying, think on these things. Purity of speech rejoices and is joyful. But boy, we have the potential to say some corrupt things, don't we? Again, Paul the Apostle is writing to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter number 4, and he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, when we hear things like that and we read about these things, a lot of times what comes to our minds is cuss words. And we can apply that. I'm not saying you can't apply that. Yeah, nobody should cuss. I'm against cuss words. Don't cuss. It's a sin against God. But he goes on to say, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Edifying, not tearing someone else down, but building someone else up, helping someone that it may minister grace to the hearers. Would your speech and my speech be characterized by grace? The name of our church is Grace Fellowship Baptist Church. We want our speech to be lined up with grace, do we not? There's Paul, he says, hey, corrupt speech is something that tears someone else down and does not build others up, does not edify. Boy, we need to think about that before we start saying things, don't we? Is this going to edify? Is this really needful for me to say? Goes on to say, and when we do use words like that, it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Grieves His Spirit. He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, all wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Christian speech is forgiving speech. It's gracious speech. It's edifying speech instead of tearing one another down. We are looking for purity in our speech. And when you and I do not have purity in our speech, do you know what we're showing there? We're showing that we do not have the self-control that we ought to have. We do not have control over our tongue and our mouth the way that we ought to have. We're like a city that's broken down without walls. Like a man that does not have control over his spirit. Anything can come in and anything can go out. No filter whatsoever on that mouth, and it's just going out. One right after the other. Watch some of these filthy comedians on television. I don't watch them, but they don't have a filter on that thing. And people get entertained by all of that. No rule over their spirit. Again, let your speech be always with grace. Seasoned with salt. Gracious speech, salty speech, preserving speech. Those are pure things. Those are pure words. Speech that has an answer to the skeptics and the critics from the Word of God. That is pure speech. We must desire purity in our speech. Not only must we desire purity, there also must be a desire for prevention. Prevention. He says in verse number 3, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips." You know what he's saying there? Set a watch, set a guard before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. You know what David is saying there? He's saying before the words get out, stop it. Stop it. Prevent it from coming out. I don't want it to come out. David's not saying, well, I'm going to say whatever I want to say, and then we'll deal with the consequences once the words come out. I don't care. I can say what I want to say. I'm King David. I got the right. I can do it. No, David is humbling himself here before the God of the universe. And he's saying, God, prevent the words from coming out of my mouth before they get there. He wants to be proactive in his speech. He wants to prevent the things from coming out. You and I must desire that same preventative measure, asking God to stop us from saying things that don't need to be said. We cannot have the attitude, well, so what? I got my rights. I'm an American. I can do whatever I want to do. No, that's not the attitude of a Christian. David knows his propensity for saying things that don't need to be said, and you and I must come to that realization as well. Every one of us have the propensity to say things that we shouldn't say. James 3:8, the text we read, the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So we cannot tame it. One of the best men in the Bible, we've been studying about him again in Sunday school. And God the Father said about him, he says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Man, he's a good man. Fears God, eschews evil, shuns evil, all of this. First two chapters, what does he say? Job sinned not with his lips. Didn't say anything wrong. Didn't say anything bad. All this stuff happened to him. He lost his wife, lost his kids, lost all of his stuff, lost his health, everything. Job sinned not with his lips. Until he started thinking. He sat down for 7 days. He started thinking about all the things that happened to him. Job chapter 3 and verse number 1. Then Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. Sinned with his lips. He did pretty good. But none of us here are better than Job. We need some preventative maintenance in our lives for our words. I do that at my job, and so does Brother Butler. We're maintenance men. You know what we're doing? We're preventing things from happening before it happens. We don't sit around in the office twiddling our thumbs, waiting for something to break down. You know. I wonder if the air conditioner is going to break down today. Which one's going to break down? You know, because we haven't changed out the filters in 2 years, and you know, once it breaks down and stops breathing. Because we haven't changed the filters in 2 years, then we'll get around to fixing it. You know how long I'd be a maintenance man if I did that? Not very long. Not very long. I'd get fired. You know what we're doing? We're changing out the filters all the time because we want to prevent a catastrophe from happening. Same thing with our words. We want to prevent those things from happening. We want to prevent a catastrophe from happening. So we go to God and we say, God, look, will you be the guard of my mouth and will you help me to watch my mouth? We don't want to get those words out there because once they get out of your mouth, you can't get them back in there. It's very hard. It's kind of like trying to squeeze toothpaste back into a tube. You can't do it. You can't do it. Got some questions to ask you tonight. Have you ever said words that you wish had never come out of your mouth? You ever had an argument with your husband or your wife or your friend, and you said words that you wish you never would have said? I have before. You ever told a lie to someone that was hurtful and that deceived them for your own benefit? You ever used curse words that amplified your message in an attempt to put others down and lift yourself up? You ever slandered another person behind their back to make them look bad or spread gossip about another person in order to demean them? Have you ever taken the name of God in vain? Have you ever uttered promises to God and promises to others that you knew you couldn't keep? And you wouldn't keep it. You were just saying things. You ever made a post on social media to get back at someone instead of speaking to them face to face? just to get back at them or take revenge on them, making those kinds of things out there in public. You ever sent that text message you knew would be hurtful, but you sent it anyway? You ever made snide or sarcastic remarks in a joking manner, but you meant it as an insult to put that other person down because you knew you didn't like them? Said, "I'll get them back," kind of a joking way, but then you stuck it in there and you got him. I'm guilty. We as Christians don't need to be using those kinds of things. That's why we need God to prevent us from saying things like this. We need a guard set at the door of our mouth to stop us from saying things like that because it hurts other people. And you're fixing to start a forest fire that you can't stop. You're going to look one of these days and say, "Man, what in the world did I start? Look at that big old huge fire I set. Now feelings are hurt. Now there's resentment. Now there's hate. And now you've lost friends. You made a fool of yourself and myself. Why?" You let some words out. Do you have a filter when it comes to your words? We don't have the right or the liberty to say whatever we want to say. We need God. There must be a desire, number three, for power to control this problem, because obviously we can't do it. You and I, our mouth and our words and our vocabulary is fallen because of Adam. That's why. We are all sinners, and that includes your mouth and my mouth. And you know what we need? We need God to intervene in our vocabulary, in our mouth. And I hope that each and every one of us has a desire. God, come down and help me with this problem of my mouth and my words. Because David says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth." God, I want you to be the one who protects me from my own self. Because many times we are our own worst enemy. David's saying, "I know my weaknesses, I know my tendencies, I know all of that, and God, I want you to be in control of my physical body." We can't do it alone. Now, if you and I could keep our words pure and right at all times, do you know what we would be? If we said the right things all the time, you know what it'd be? We'd be sinless. We'd be perfect. We'd be just like Jesus Christ, because that's what Jesus Christ did. He never said the wrong thing at the wrong time to the wrong person. Not one time. He never slandered anybody. He never gossiped to anybody. He never said an unkind word when he wasn't supposed to say an unkind word. He spoke the truth every time. He was hanging on the cross in extreme agony, and he still was able to say the right things. It's amazing. You and I need help with our speech, and we have the help available to us. And it is through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Because of Jesus Christ, you and I have the help that we need. Because of the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ, we have the power at our disposal. The Apostle Paul would concur with this. He would agree. He went out and he preached the gospel. And he did not say these words. He didn't say, "Man, I can sure preach the gospel because I went to school and I learned that Hebrew language so good, man. I just got that eloquent speech and I can preach to people. Man, thank the Lord, I am so talented. So strong, mentally strong, man, I can do it. I have got it. I have arrived with my speech." That's not what Paul the Apostle said. Paul the Apostle says, "I can preach and I can say what I need to say in the power of the Holy Spirit." It is the Holy Spirit of God that gives us that power to say the things that we need to say. He says, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." He knew where the power was at. He knew where he could find it. He knew where he could find it, and he knew it so well that he asked all of his converts to pray for him, that he could say the things that he needed to say through the power of the Holy Spirit. It says that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20. So there's good news for us as believers in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell us, and He comes to heal our speech. He comes to heal our mouth. Before people are saved, they got a bunch of cursing and a bunch of filthiness that pours out of their mouth constantly. They don't want to talk about good things. They don't want to talk about God. They don't want to talk about the Bible. They don't want to sing Christian songs. They don't want to speak about Jesus Christ. Unless it's a cuss word, that's about it. But when Jesus Christ comes in and the Holy Spirit comes in, He heals our speech. And now you want to glorify Jesus Christ. You want to glorify the God of heaven. You want to sing that amazing grace. You want to sing about all of those things. It is the God who heals our speech, and we have that power. So we can have that, all of that under control. Now we must walk in the Spirit. We must obey His bidding towards us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You can apply all that to speech. How's your speech? Is it gentle speech? Long-suffering speech? Good speech? Is it all of those things? That's Spirit-led speech, ladies and gentlemen. And there's David. And he knows the God of Israel. He knows the true God. He says, God, I want You to be the one to guard my speech. Sit at the door of my mouth and You be the guard. You be the soldier on duty. Because I know what it's like. And I don't want none of that filthy stuff coming out. Don't want any of those bad words coming out. So, my final question tonight is, when you pray, what do you pray for? What constitutes your prayers? Is it mostly about financial blessings or health or something like that? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, and I pray for that all the time. There's nothing wrong with those things. But we read David's prayers here, and it's not really filled with those things. I mean, sometimes it is, but David's here, and he's like, I'm going to cover all the bases. God, my mouth is the problem. Lord, I want You to stand guard at my mouth. I want You to be the one to watch my mouth for me. And he knows what kind of speech that he ought to have. You and I, we serve a God who spoke the world into existence. So we must trust God with our speech because of the importance of our words. Look, our words can hinder. Our words can hurt. Or our words can help, or they can bind up, and they can heal. They can be an encouragement to somebody else. Man, don't you love it when you get around somebody that just encourages you? Like, man, I'm glad I was around that person, man. He helped me. I wasn't feeling too good when he came in or she came in, but now, boy, they just helped me. I don't strive for that myself. I'm lacking in that encouragement area, that helping area with my words. And sometimes our words can just hurt people. But they can wound up or they can bind. Wound or they can bind. One or the other. Let us ask God for the power to do right with our speech. To use our words in the way that we ought to use them. Hey, God is the author of speech, isn't He? God is. As a matter of fact, you know, who made man's mouth? God made man's mouth. Boy, don't you think we can trust Him with our mouths? I do. I believe that we can trust Him. Well, let's ask God to help us. Would you pray with me, please?